step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
I mentioned the Jason Williams clip, but we'll get to that later. I forgot that we had a bit of reporting done from friend of the station, DJ Bienname. You've heard him in the last couple weeks here doing shows with Big Sarge. Well, his normal everyday job is covering the Texans. And while they're not on the practice field right now with their offseason program, at least on field work, in a bit of a pause, they have been negotiating contracts and getting guys to agree to them throughout the offseason. Nico got his extra money. Will Anderson got his big deal. The Texans aren't shy. If they think you're worth it, they'll pay you. And they'll pay you a lot of money. Aziz Ashaier got a big deal. You know, they reward their guys. One guy who has not got the reward he's looking for, CJ Stroud. DJ Bienname reports that are not close to a deal. Stroud and the Texans aren't close to a deal. And some of it may have to do with how he ended the year, but the expectation for a quarterback who is of CJ status is you're going to get a multi-year extension from the team who drafted you in the range of potentially $55 to $60 million. Now, you can balk at that amount for a guy who played the way he did in the postseason, and it appears the Texans are too right now. Not close. And if we remember C.J. Stroud's first comments when he was asked about the Will Anderson deal, or at least in the context of a potential deal for him, he said, and I'm paraphrasing, he pretty much said, I've done enough to deserve it. I've done, or he said, I've held up my end. I've held up my end. I think there was some thought people thought he meant what he had done in the offseason. I thought he simply meant, hey, I've been the quarterback of a successful football team. I've held up my end of the bargain. And if I'm right about that, despite what you might think a person should approach the offseason with or contract negotiations with when you play as poorly as he did in the playoffs, if I'm right about what I think he meant, that's not going to matter. He's going to believe that I'm the quarterback of a double-digit win team over the last three seasons. I've won playoff games. Pay me like Trevor Lawrence got paid, a guy who's never won a playoff game. No, he won one, thanks to Justin Herbert giving it away. But Trevor Lawrence had played poorly in that game until second half. Pay me like Tua got paid, and we saw how that turned out in Miami. There are examples of guys who you might say have accomplished less than C.J. Stroud and got big money from their teams. He's going to say, why not me? So, yes, I would agree with anyone saying we need to wait on that, and it appears the Texans have decided that as well, particularly at the amount you think C.J. would be asking for. Like, if C.J. and his agent decided, you know what, 45 would be fine. I bet the Texans would give him 45 over however many years. But that's not the range they think they should get paid. And the name Dak was brought up earlier as a guy who had to prove it this morning on the show. My pushback there would be Dak had proved it. The Cowboys were just doing the Cowboy thing. At least Jerry was. Dak was at a higher level as far as accomplishments, even with the jokes about not winning playoff games at the rate people would like. He had done more as a quarterback at the time than CJ has done, even though CJ would have the leading quarterback ones. I think Dak was a better quarterback then and now. It's just that's just what the Cowboys and Jerry does. So I'm going to make you wait and then have to pay more because I made you wait. I don't believe this is something that's going to be contentious, at least not something in front of us. But I would not be surprised if there is, or at least this big gap between the two sides' expectations of what a deal should be, is being driven by the fact that CJ and his representatives think they should be getting paid in the mid-50s to more range. If you just look at quarterback contracts for guys they likely think they're better than or just as good as. So that's the news from DJ BNMA as far as the Texans are concerned. The quarterback and the team aren't close on the deal. We will see if CJ's play this year allows for them to get closer and get a contract done. They still have him under the fifth-year option after the season, so it's not like he's going anywhere. And then the franchise tag is still available. Players don't like it. They like to know that they have long-term money coming, even though a franchise tag quarterback is getting long-term money. I mean, if you're getting paid top five money, unless you're Floyd Mayweather, you should be okay money-wise. There was a thing floating around. I forgot what NBA player was talking about it. Was it an NFL player? Was it Joe Hayden? I forgot who it was. They're explaining why money goes quick for a player. Like, of course, the money who goes to your business manager, your agent, the taxes, all the things that reduce what you think a guaranteed portion of a deal actually is, that he was going through, how that is not real because of all the expenditures to be an NFL player. And of course you get no sympathy, because even once you talk about everything being halved, you're still at a point where no one is ever going to see. So you're not going to garner much sympathy. I think one player said in response to the lack of sympathy for it all, I'm not saying you should feel bad for us. I'm just telling you the logistics and the reality of the situation. When your brain hears, let's say for a franchise tag quarterback, $55 million, $56 million, it's actually closer to this. And that reminds me to play this, have you play this Bruce Thornton sound. Because Bruce Thornton's a rookie from the state. He played his ball in the state of Ohio, but he's fully aware of the benefits of playing in Texas. Here's Bruce Thornton on being a Rocket and also being able to play in Texas.
For me, I'm not picky at all. Like, whoever wanted me and give me a kid from Fairburn, Georgia, the opportunity, I would be very blessed and very grateful. I'm so thankful for the Houston Rockets just taking a chance on me, and I'm going to do everything I can in my power to be the best player I can be for the Houston Rockets. I knew last minute that if somebody said I got the wrong hat, I'm like, what you mean? Then I heard Houston Rockets, I'm like, oh, no state tax, so that's even better.
Well, the other option was New York, so there's a giant gap between taxes. But even Bruce, now he's an older player. I mean, as far as drafted guys goes, he's 22, played the 4 years, so he's not a teenager. But even the second-round pick, and maybe most importantly the second-round pick, realizes, I mean, depending on the contract he signs, maybe he gets the LeBronny treatment and it's fully guaranteed for 4 years. But either way, whatever the deal is, he's going to keep more money than some other second-round picks, and certainly more if he was a second-round pick in New York City. So he is aware. And, yeah, taxes are a big deal. The players take it into account. But as was stated by most, it's very hard for anyone to feel bad for the multimillion-dollar first-round pick at corner, because you're getting a portion of your money taken away. But it is a reality for those players. And look, they just live a different life. It's hard to relate. But when you're sitting down doing a podcast with other guys who make the same amount of money, you can get that off. Save it for that podcast, though. I mean, maybe just save it for the barbershop, or save it for when you're talking with your friends. Don't make it public that it's really hard when, you know, 21 of your $45 million guaranteed has to go other places. It's a tough look for anyone to accept, but it is what it is. And Bruce Thornton's fully aware. Because no state tax. In his first public comments of being a Rocket, he goes, "Man, glad to be in Texas. Glad to be in Houston. No state tax. All right, let's get to the Jason Williams sound. Jason Williams of ESPN was on the draft broadcast during the first round. And, of course, now it's 2 decades ago now, but he was a top pick in the draft. So they played the video of that moment, and then someone mentioned about all the loud cheers he was getting, and Richard Jefferson said, well, they didn't know the future. That was one of the disrespectful things. And then he went on to talk about, I don't know if Kenny Smith brought it up or Richard Jefferson, about the motorcycle accident. And then it got to, well, not all Duke players are smart, case in point here. So it was a lot of disrespect. Turns out that Jason Williams and Richard Jefferson are more so colleagues than they are friends. But and we were talking about it yesterday. You would imagine your friends, if you're making that joke. Turns out they're not that close. But here's Richard Jefferson on the back and forth and some of the awkwardness. Excuse me, Jason Williams.
Hubbub about it on the internet about whether there was real tension. Was there any real tension there on set, or was it no harm, no foul?
No, there was no real tension, but it was awkward. It was awkward for me, you know, being fully transparent with you, because, you know, a lot of times in my brain, I'm extremely competitive. There are a lot of things that sometimes when you're on TV, you know, naturally TV is becoming more like a podcast. Saying things to millions of people, there are byproducts that happen. There are effects of that, a ripple effect. I focus a lot the last 25 years of my life, not on what happened, but what I've done with that. It's about what you do after something like that happens, and yeah, similar mentality you have in sports. So for me, it was extremely uncomfortable. I've known RJ. Obviously, our history dates all the way back to playing against each other in the 2001 national championship. Him and I are cool people. I think sometimes ribbing can go a little bit too far. People were comparing it to the Kevin Hart roast. Things like that sometimes happen on TV. You deal with it in real time. I tried to stay above it, frankly. I didn't want to get back into the jousting back and forth. One of the things I hated about the moment is that, you know, a lot of times things get said and it becomes a viral moment, but I don't like when the viral moment becomes about me when I'm there talking about these young people where the moment was about them, you know. Yes. And when I get people from the crowd that are people I care about that are getting drafted in their families and they're reaching out to me asking me if I'm okay, I'm like, no, it's not about me, it's about you. This is your night. Look, I've lived with my accident for 25 years now. People typically use it to try to diminish what I've been able to accomplish. For me, frankly, I think it speaks volumes about what I have been able to accomplish. So life happens. RJ and I, I'm sure, same with Kenny and Kevin. We'll talk about it. We'll learn from it. We'll move on. And welcome to TV.
So well said by Jason Williams, but he wasn't a fan. He didn't like it, and you could understand why. And as you said, they'll have a conversation about it, and we'll see how that plays out. So there it is. If you haven't heard it, you type in Jason Williams, Richard Jefferson, you're going to be able to find it and listen to it, and then you hear his Jason Williams comments, and it was not something he was looking for, and Kenny Smith added on as well. So there it is. We'll go to break with that. We got some more Texans to get to because we've got a list, and it's that time of the year, the top 100. And it's not from the players, because that will be on NFL Network at some point. You'll all get to see that. The NFL account will tweet out the top 100 as well. But some Texans made the list, and you won't be surprised by any of the guys who are there, the top 100 NFL players as voted on by a single individual, Pete Prisco. So we'll get to that. We'll get to some World Cup. We have not mentioned that very much today. The U.S. played Turkey tonight in a game where it could be classified as meaningless because neither team can benefit from the result as far as the standings are concerned. But there could be a couple of important things to look to, and we'll talk about that as far as the U.S. is concerned as they try to get ready or stay ready, as they are on to the round of 32 and a date with Bosnia, in all likelihood. It's about a 99% probability. As long as some crazy stuff doesn't happen in other portions of the tournament, they're going to be playing Bosnia in Santa Clara for a chance to get to the round of 16. So we'll get to that. We'll take your calls. We'll continue to take your calls, 713-780-3776.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
I mentioned World Cup and we got a call. Blake wants to talk USA England. What's up, Blake?
Hey, I would like to know the possibility of the USA playing England on the 4th of July in Boston.
Well, the path for the U.S. as it stands now is Bosnia. Then you've got potentially Egypt and then Spain in the quarterfinal. That's the most likely path as it stands now. Now we got plenty of tournament games in between now and then. You never know if there's an upset here or there, or maybe as we look at the rest of match day three for all of these groups, who knows? But at the moment, you would have to first get through Spain, which it would be low probability anywhere else but the U.S. Like, you would give them now they got to win two games to get there first, but give them a puncher's chance because they're at home and you just never know. But I would say not great, the probabilities to do that. And who knows how England's path will work out, because at the moment they're not guaranteed to even finish first thanks to their tie against Ghana. That's a long way away. I don't need to be the guy who goes, hey, one game at a time. I'm not the coach. I'm not the players. But even that's a little far for me. We're talking two knockout round wins, something the team has never done before in the history of the modern World Cup. They've done it once since any of us really have been alive. It goes back to 2002, where they beat Mexico in a round of 16 game back when the tournament didn't have as many teams, and they made a quarterfinal. They gave Germany a game in that one, got screwed over on a call, but appreciate it, Lake. But let's just say low probability, because there are a lot of steps needed to be taken to even get the U.S. there. Forget about England being in that game. All right. Thank you for that, Lake. And I'm actually going to look at the bracket and see how it would all shake out. Because, in fact, if I just look at things, July 4th would be, let's see, July 4th would be a round of 16 game. The U.S., now I did all that talking, and it's not possible at all. Because the U.S. plays on Wednesday against what is likely Bosnia, which is July 1st. Their next scheduled game would be July 6th. So, Lake, after all that nonsense I just said, there's no chance of the USA and England playing. Sorry. No 1776, no Boston Tea Party. None of that stuff can be used as symbolism, because the dates don't line up. So we just forget about it and just hope the U.S. is playing on July 6th, 2 days after July 4th. Germany might be playing on July 4th. Does that strike you as something you're interested in? South Africa or Canada or Morocco could have a July 4th match, but not us. We're hoping to be still alive on July 6th. Speaking of Canada, I do just want to laugh at Jesse March for a little bit. If you don't know who Jesse March is, he is the manager for Canada. He is a former U.S. player. He has been vocal in his disdain for the U.S. Federation. Look, I'm not a big fan either. Look, I separate this current team and the current manager from what U.S. soccer is in its totality. I don't believe they do things in a way that promotes the game for all, from youth soccer to the top of the federation. I don't think the U.S. soccer apparatus is a great one. I just think they were willing to pay an established coach a lot of money, and through the first two games, it's worked out. So hopefully that continues. But that's a broader conversation about U.S. soccer and what they're actually doing to create the strongest potential program they could have. But he has a problem with them mostly because he didn't get hired. Forget about, you know, the health of U.S. soccer. His biggest issue is they didn't hire him when they had the chance during the two-term Berhalter stuff. And then when Pochettino became available, he wasn't considered. You know, he got a job with Canada. That's cool. Canada had a chance yesterday to win their group, which would mean they had the opportunity to play two knockout round games in Canada. Instead, they lose to Switzerland. So now they have to go play in L.A. against South Africa, who upset South Korea last night in Mexico. So Canada at home in a game that was the biggest game in Canadian soccer history was down 2-0, lose 2-1, and they got to travel to the good old US of A to keep their tournament alive. Because of money and the number of people we can put in a stadium here, they weren't going to have more than the two potential knockout round games. So it would end it in the round of 16. Then they'd have to play a quarterfinal here, as opposed to maybe being able to play a quarterfinal in Canada, and then if they kept winning, playing semifinals here. Same, I think that's the same for Mexico. Now, they did what they had to do. They won their group and then won last night as well in a game that was meaningless for the standings for them. So they leave the group stage with 9 points. Jesse March and Canada leave it with 4. And now, while they've never advanced out of the group, so that's big, they're still disappointed that they could not win their group and play a couple home games in Canada. So while I won't actually laugh at Jesse March, in my head, I'm laughing at Jesse March. And it's a position of strength now. If we lose to Bosnia, I won't be laughing at anyone. But that's July 1st. I can do all the laughing I want right now. U.S. tonight against Turkey, 8 p.m. First night game here in the tournament for them. I believe it's 8 p.m. Either way, it's a night game in L.A. Yeah, 8 p.m. against Turkey. They'll be in their all blue uniforms today. We've seen the stripes, which was when they asked the players about their uniforms for the World Cup. They said, we'll do something for the fans. We'll do the thing that they want, the stripes. They'll love them. And then they said they wanted one for themselves. I don't know if the line that was put out there that we wanted something that would look good in the club is actually what we're going to see tonight. It's a dark blue shirt, and the stars are sublimated. So it's stars, but they're not like dark blue and then they're white stars. They're a dark blue themselves. So they'll be in all blue tonight against Turkey as they try to go 3-for-3 with wins in the tournament, in the group stage for the first time. So that'll be something to see. We'll see who they roll out there. As I talked about, Pochettino had some decisions, and the decisions he made was no yellow card guys will be playing. No guys who are in danger of being suspended if they pick up another yellow will play. They've had some injury concerns. Pulisic has practiced, or trained, I guess that's the terminology. He's trained, so the question will be, will they give him some time just to keep him match fit, because they're going to need him in the knockout rounds. And then Christian Rodon's another guy who was in line to play, who hadn't played in the tournament. He's in line to play, and it would be beneficial just to give some guys some minutes and give other guys rest as a midfielder they kind of like there. So him playing would help overall. You may not have to give a guy minutes who you would rather rest. So expect, if you are not someone who watches U.S. soccer a lot, but you're locked in on the tournament because it's patriotic and you want the country to do well. You're going to see some guys you haven't seen very much of or at all tonight. It's part of managing the tournament. You did what you had to do in your first two games. You want to sit guys for injury concerns and suspension concerns. You roll guys out there that are not part of your top 15 or 16 players when you throw in subs plus your top 11. So we'll see what they do. Hopefully they can put on a good performance because you don't want to lose any of the positivity, less so about the team. I don't worry about them losing. But the fandom, the fans who are sometimes more casual in their watching habits, you want to give them a good show if you can to keep them locked in for what should be an interesting lead up to their game in the round of 32. All right, we'll go to break. Thank you for the call, Lake. No England versus USA. We've played several times in World Cups. They've never beat us in a World Cup match, so we have that over them. There have been a couple ties and then a win way back when. All right, two more segments to go on the show. We're heading to noon where the bullpen will be out for a soccer watch party. They'll be out at Ducky McSweeney's today. The soccer watch parties all week have been brought to you by Huntington Bank. And if you go out there to Ducky McSweeney's today, you have a chance to win a $500 gift certificate to Republic Boot Company and get yourself something nice or someone else nice, depending on what you want to do. So that's in store for you starting at noon. We got a couple more segments. We will be back.
The Bullpen, Saturdays at noon on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So this news, maybe it was in the works for a while. I'm sure it was. I don't know when it became public, but it became public for me yesterday. Netflix is going to have the FIFA Women's World Cup. Yeah, AJ did a little what? Yeah, in the U.S. and Canada, that'll be the broadcaster, I guess, with English and Spanish broadcast in the U.S. and then English and French in Canada. It didn't say exclusively, but so I don't know if that just means they'll have matches. Maybe they made a deal, like maybe FIFA made a deal with Netflix to give them a couple. Like the NFL did with Netflix, but maybe 25 years ago, if you told me I would have to have a subscription service to watch a big sporting event, I would get offended, possibly. But even now, who has over-the-air television? We're all paying for it somehow. We're all subscribing to something, whether it be DirecTV, YouTube TV, which is what I have. For the most part, if you like sports, you are likely subscribing to a cable service to watch it. And this is not just, a lot of people have Netflix, because if you don't and you want to watch the Women's World Cup, that sucks if all the matches are going to be there. But I guess I've just been trained where it's like, whatever. I have Netflix, so certainly easier for me. Although at this point, with the prices, maybe I'll just stop having Netflix until the World Cup comes around. But because there's not enough quality on there for me to justify what they're doing. And because I'm a resourceful person, I can watch Netflix shows without Netflix if I so chose. I mean, if I so chose, AJ. But I am right now currently a Netflix subscriber, so I don't have to choose. Just letting you know, Netflix, it's always an option. Always. Jack up the prices one more time. Because we're near 30. Like, I did it because I got the 4K television. Maybe 8 years ago, that would have been a brag, but it's not so much anymore. I was like, if I'm buying the 4K television, why not just get the 4K service? There's not enough things on there in 4K that I care about for it to be worth it. One more price jump, which will come initially, thanks, I guess, having FIFA World Cup, Women's World Cup. So, of course, they'll just add to the price. I'm out. I mean, I got through Stranger Things. I like a Harlan Coben show. They did another adaptation. I Will Find You was the name of it this time. It had the actress from Severance, Helly B. She was in it. Had some other people you'd recognize. Sam Worthington. You would know him from the, it feels like 40 years he's been a Navi as part of Spielberg's, no, Cameron's. Is it Spielberg? Who does The Way of Water? Is that a Cameron thing or a Spielberg thing?
James Cameron.
James Cameron, yeah. An Avatar. That's what it the big name, the overarching name of it is. He's been doing that, it feels like, for three decades now. Not just Spielberg, but the actors too. So, Sully, isn't it? It's fine. It is one of those Harlan Coben novels where there's a twist after twist after twist. Every episode there's a twist. Every 20 minutes there's a twist. It's that type of thing. It keeps twisting until like the final 20 minutes where the thing's resolved. It's fine. So, but that's not enough for me to be paying nearly 30 bucks for Netflix right now. Just keep it up, Netflix. You'll see. I mean, Enola Holmes 2 is supposed to keep me, or 3 at this point. Is that supposed to keep me around? For people who are wondering, no, it can't. So I'm about done. But yeah, it looks like if you are going to be in the U.S. in 2027 and you want to watch the U.S. woman play, it'll have to be through Netflix. That's what it feels like. I think they are the official broadcaster of the FIFA 2027 Women's World Cup. Oh, well. That's a year from now problem. Okay, let's get to this before we go to break. So it's about that time where it's time for lists. Everyone who's of any consequence is on the team they're supposed to be on. So Pete Prisco put a list together of the top 100 players in football. AJ, take a guess. Who do you think he voted for as the best player in the game?
I say Myles Garrett.
You'll be right. He did not go quarterback. He went with the guy he ranked number 2, Myles Garrett, coming off the record-setting sack season at 23. He is now an L.A. Ram. And the Rams have the top 2 guys. Wow. Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford's a great quarterback. He had a great year. He was the MVP last year. He wasn't ranked in Pete Prisco's list, which may speak to Pete Prisco's ball knowledge. Look, Matt Stafford was a great quarterback before the MVP year. He jumped from unranked to number 2 when there's so you had at least 100 better players in the league, and now you don't have anyone but Myles Garrett. Makes me question the list. But he's number 2. I don't think Matt Stafford is the second best football player in the world. I would go with number – if I was going to rank someone as far as the guys I can see on this list right now, I would throw Ja'Marr Chase at 2 if I was going to – he's at 4 on the list. But if I'm just going to rank them by who are just the best football players, not giving the bump to quarterback – when Ja'Marr Chase is on the field, I don't think Matt Stafford is a better football player than Ja'Marr Chase. So the list has Josh Allen after Stafford, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow. So you're seeing a lot of quarterbacks, as you might imagine. Penei Sewell, Mahomes at 7, Justin Jefferson at 8, Nakua, and then Lamar Jackson, who did not have a great year. He was 6 last time around. Now he's 10. The first Texan, an easy one, Will Anderson. He's 15. He was 56 last year, so a giant jump for Will Anderson. Once again, makes me question the list. Will Anderson he might have been better last year, but he wasn't. But he's more comparable. His 2024 is more comparable to 2025. My point is, he wasn't so much better in 2025 that he would jump up 41 spots. He either had him at like 30 in 2024. Or after the 2024 season, and then he jumped to 15. In other words, underranked in 2024. The Texans had 4 guys, and they're the names you would expect. Will Anderson, you've got Danielle Hunter at 37, and then Stingley on the list as well, and then Kamari Lassiter. Big hits all day, Kamari Lassiter. He makes the list in the top 100. So the Texans
big hits all day.
There it is. Big hits all day, Kamari Lassiter. In the top 100. So those are your 4. And you would say the right 4. No, actually, you know what? Let me take it back. There was Nico Collins as well. So it's 5. 5. Let's mention Nico. He was in the list as well. And those are the right 5. I mean, maybe you think Jalen Petrie should make it. Azeez Al-Shaair is now a top paid linebacker. But if we're just going by things that make sense and should be easy, it's those guys. And Kamari comes in at 95. So the Texans, super talented, as you notice. It's all on the defensive end outside of Nico Collins. They have tried to cobble together an offense that should complement this defense because of all the star power on that side of the ball. There's a lot of it. You got four guys in the top 100. Doesn't even include Aziz. Doesn't even include a guy like Jalen Petrie. And then you bring in a guy like Reed Blankenship to just solidify your secondary even more. There's some investment over there, although some of it doesn't kick in like with Will Anderson because he's still on his rookie deal. But they've done a great job building that roster on the other side of the ball. They're just hoping that their offense cannot screw it up for them. And if they get better than that, that's the cherry on top, and then you've got a real Super Bowl contender. All right, we'll go to break. We got one more segment to go before we wrap it up. Phone line still open at 713-780-3776.
Houston, are you ready? The world's biggest tournament is taking over Midtown at Social Beer Garden HDX. Watch every match on massive indoor and outdoor screens with stadium sound that puts you right in the middle of the action. As every match comes alive, raise an ice-cold Michelob Ultra or Modelo for every goal, save, and celebration. Bring your crew to Houston's ultimate soccer watch party. English and Spanish broadcasts available for all games. One tournament, one city, one place to watch it all. Social Beer Garden HDX. Visit socialbeergardenhdx.com for more details.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Final segment. The bullpen will follow us out at Ducky McSweeney's. You can join them. And today's a chance to get a $500 gift card from Republic Food Company. Just go on out there, whether it be during their show or Jeremy and Joe that follows from 12 to 6. You got a chance to win something very nice from Republic Food Company. Just go out to Ducky McSweeney's today. So they'll be here in a little bit. Okay. The big news really today came out of the NBA. You had the LaMelo Ball trade. It is an attempt to keep Anthony Edwards happy. And I would ask, have you guys met or seen LaMelo Ball? How's that going to keep a star happy? He's an unserious player. That is why a Hornets team who had a nice run last year got rid of him, got a giant trade exception, got a first-round pick, got some swaps, got Naz Reid, and also some second-rounders. And it allowed them to pay Coby White. Coby White, who they picked up last year from the Bulls. Another guy who was just waiting for a Rockets team to go get, did not do it. He played well for the Hornets, and now they've just rewarded him with 3 years, $74 million. So Coby White slides into their starting point guard spot. He had big moments for them, and he doesn't have tattoos of flames on his toes. So that's even better for all those involved if you're a Hornets fan. I mean, as I said, LaMelo Ball, I don't know how serious of a person he is. I can guess. He is certainly not a serious basketball player. He's a fun basketball player. It's fun to have a guy take 1 foot 30 footers and sometimes knock him down. But if you are serious about winning and you're Charles Lee, their coach, and you're like, okay, I gotta make this work with him. But can I really? Turns out the Hornets say no. The answer is no. In fact, Charles, we'd rather not make you do that. Chris Finch, good luck. You know, it's great. It's not even my initial thought. I need a Chris Finch cam. Someone put this out on Twitter. We need to be able to watch Chris Finch watch LaMelo Ball play basketball. Give me an ISO cam on Chris Finch. Hey, I don't pay for, I never forget it. League Pass, I don't pay for League Pass. But can I get it a la carte? And I don't even want Minnesota games. I don't ever need to see a Minnesota shot through League Pass. I'll know who's shooting the basketball by looking at Chris Finch. And I can just confirm on ESPN.com. I need that because Chris Finch, a man who has coached some good basketball teams, had been to a couple conference finals over the last several years. This is the move. this is the move for the Wolves to keep Anthony Edwards happy. Good luck. Maybe LaMelo getting out of Charlotte will be someone who buckles down and goes, you know what? I got Ant Edwards. I don't need to be an entertainer here. I can just play ball. He's a talented player. There's no question. He has just not been a winning player for a long time. And the Hornets, who benefited from a great run the last half of the season, was like, you know what? Never mind. We don't want to do this. Give us assets. Give us the trade exception for us to possibly find a star that's floating around. And then we'll make Kobe White our starting point guard. That's the type of urgency a certain producer would like from his favorite team. What he got was Bruce Thornton, who will probably be a fine backup point guard. It is just not the monumental move that changes the perception of the team. It's like, okay, that makes sense. That's an Ime guy. He'll play backup point guard maybe, which would speak to some of their concerns about Reed Sheppard, who was supposed to be their backup point guard. What's Reed Sheppard now? If Bruce Thornton can be your backup point guard, which is putting a lot on a second-round pick, but they did trade up to get him, and it was the top of the second round. It was the very first pick of the second round, so maybe that changes what you think about the selection. That's a guard who doesn't turn the ball over, can run an offense, and be efficient with his shots. The thought was that Reed would transition into being a backup point guard because he has a lack of side for the two. AJ, do you remember? Now, it never came from the Rockets, but do you remember all the Mark Price stuff?
Yes, I do.
I don't know who everyone was, but they should be identified and shamed.
Facts.
If you called him Mark Price, come on out. Just come on out and say you were wrong. It's fine, but you need to be held to account for daring to say the small combo guard was Mark Price. And honestly, be more creative. Oh, you're the white right. Small guard. Let's make the comp. It doesn't have to be Mark Price. I mean, looking like Shabazz Napier out there. Okay, that's a little much. But still, that was what they were giving him, which means some people thought because of his lack of size, he could transition into point guard. And maybe that comes down the line as he's still a young player. He's not even 23 years old. But still, There's another guy in the pipeline, at least, who has traditional point guard experience. So that was the move from the Rockets. It may just be these small moves unless something comes to them that they can't pass up because it's a bit of a fleece when it comes to what they have to give up to get him. LaMelo Ball, in some ways, depending on how you feel about him, didn't get what a star guard should get back. Once again, Naz Reid, some second-round picks, one pick swap, and a first-rounder for someone who's like 12 years old right now. Because the Wolves traded a lot of stuff to get Rudy Gobert, so I didn't even know they had a first-round pick to trade. They had one, but it's for someone who is at Schlitterbahn right now or something. That's what they're on. Or whatever water park resides in the state they live in. Maybe it's the Six Flags, who knows. But that's what the Wolves traded away. Like, that's the second best asset outside of Naz Reid, some 12-year-old at a Six Flags water park that the Hornets will be able to take at some point. So that's the big transaction in the NBA. Expect some more. I thought that this might be a summer of moves because Shams predicted that last offseason, and we didn't really get much. We've already had the Giannis move. We've had the Wolves reshape their roster. The Thunder cutting salary. We'll see you next. I imagine that's just Jaylen Brown. So we're talking two top 10 players are on the move with Giannis and then Jaylen Brown. How Jaylen Brown played last year. I don't know if he's a consensus top 10 player, but second team All-NBA, you get that ranking for this past season. How many more move? There's the thoughts about Ja. All right. What do you think, AJ? Ja can't shoot, but maybe he gets revitalized in a better spot.
Houston?
That's a no, I guess.
Nah,
by that tone.
I think Miami, but they really don't have enough money.
They don't
what would
got
you
the
think
money.
About them trying
Nah, don't put them on my favorite team. $42 million plus this upcoming season. There's not a lot of spaces who can – well, I mean, Charlotte could have with their trade exception, but they just paid Kobe White. There's not a lot of spaces who can take on Ja, and I don't know if the –
I don't know if the Grizzlies are at a point right now where they'll accept that his salary and his play would require them to throw an asset in to make someone take him. Right. They have all the first rounders thanks to Desmond Bane, and you know they traded Jaren Jackson Jr. and all those things. So they got picks already, so they could throw a first rounder on Ja to get him out of there if they want to move on. Are they ready to turn their franchise player and confirm that he's a negative asset and someone they have to get rid of as they want to do a whole giant reset of who they want to be? Nah, it's not. He's not a Rocket. Don't worry about it, everybody. I don't know where he goes. Maybe. And with Sacramento taking their guard, people are just trying to find spots to dump him. And there are so many guards who came out of the first round of the draft. Who needs a $42 million Ja Morant on their team right now? We'll see how that plays out. We're done. Jeremy and Joe at 3. But before them, we've got the bullpen out at Ducky McSweeney's. You know what that music means. AJ, since we're done, what's it going to be?
I love you, but you are not serious people.
That's Logan Roy talking to the point guards available, like LaMelo and Ja, a bunch of unserious people who are getting paid lots of money to play basketball. Good luck, Minnesota. If people look back and go, this was the moment that ended Ant's time in Minnesota, it'll be... I would not be shocked.
He becomes a Rocket?
You could only hope. I mean, speaking of a big move, that might be a couple years down the line, but who knows? All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So... what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.